Good morning. Hopefully you're in the book of Joshua. If you're not, you can turn there. Joshua chapter 1. My lesson today is titled, God's Commission to Joshua. God's Commission to Joshua. We're going to begin a brand new study on this great Old Testament book. Probably about 10 lessons or so will take us through this book. It all starts in Genesis when God calls Abram from Ur of the Chaldees and said, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred and thy father's house, and to a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will make thy name great, and I will bless thee, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee all the families of the earth would be blessed. And so we have this call of God to Abram living in Ur of the Chaldees. And he makes this marvelous call when you think about it. He says, I'm going to take you, Abraham, build you into a nation. He has a wife that can't even get pregnant, right? So I'm going to build you into a nation. I'm going to give you a land, and through your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. But this wouldn't be easy. And God wanted Abraham to know this. And so in Genesis chapter 15, this is what God says to Abram. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, a horror and great darkness fell upon him. And then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. And they will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they will come out with great possessions. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. So God is going to give to Abram the land of Canaan, but it's going to be 400 years down the road. Before he gets that land, they're going to go down to Egypt, and they're going to be slaves there. And then God is going to raise up a mighty deliverer in Moses, and he is going to take them out of the land of Egypt and bring them to this marvelous land that God had promised. Now, they didn't know much about this God because they hadn't had a covenant relationship with this God as of yet. Remember, it's not after until they go into the promised land that God makes a covenant with Israel. So the Israelites in Egypt, they knew about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, but they didn't know a lot. There was much they would learn. They would soon find out that this God that they didn't know a whole lot about is extremely powerful. What God did to the Egyptians is truly astonishing. But that was just the beginning. You see, God is working with Israel. And if you know anything about Israel, you know Israel was a stubborn people. They were a people who whined, complained, criticized. But yet God kept leading them. God kept guiding them. God kept protecting them. And what we see in this text that was read, and we'll read a little bit more, as well as the Old Testament, one of the things we see is the amazing patience of God. Talk about patience. I mean, dealing with Israel 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness, every day they tried God. Israel was a mess. And then right after God brings them out, they're like, we want to go back to Egypt. And they had been crying for God to intervene, for God to come and deliver them. Well, one day Moses had had enough. And basically he blew his top, right? God told him to speak unto the rock, and he took a staff and he smote that rock, and the water came out, and God came to Moses and says, Moses, because you've done this, you cannot lead my people into the promised land. Joshua will rather be the new leader, and he will lead my people into the promised land. But it's important to know that Moses was truly a great man. and a great leader. In fact, if you're looking in Joshua, if you just look over at Deuteronomy 34, beginning at verse 10 down to verse 12, listen to what God says about Moses. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord had sent him to do in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before all his servants and all his land. And by all the mighty power and all the great terror Moses performed in the sight of Israel. So Moses was a great leader of God. And Moses has now taken God's people, and here they are standing at the edge of the Jordan River in the Promised Land. Now, they had already been there before. 40 years earlier, they had an opportunity to go into the land, but they refused to obey God. And so God caused them to wander and dwell in the wilderness for a 40-year period. After 40 years, here they are again. Once again, they're on the border, and the opportunity to go into the Promised Land. And so the question is, what now? What is next? Well, we see that in Joshua. Beginning in Joshua chapter 1, I know the first three verses were read, but I want us to read down through verse 10. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise and go over the Jordan, you and all this people, to a land which I am giving them, to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I have said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and be of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, so that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and you shall observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan and go and to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So God has this new leader in Joshua. And by the way, in Numbers 13, verse 8, Numbers 13, verse 16, he is called Hoshea. That's what his name originally was, Hoshea. Moses, in that 13th chapter of Numbers, changes his name to Yehoshua, which is the Lord saves. Hoshua just means Savior or Deliverer. Yehoshua means Yahweh saves or the Lord saves. That's who Joshua is. He is God's mighty Savior, God's Deliverer. And it translates into the New Testament as Jesus. Notice that he says the very first words that Moses, that God speaks to Joshua. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. These were the first words that he spoke. Now, this wasn't information, right? He already knew that Moses was dead. This is no secret. So why does he say Moses is dead? Why did God say this? He's saying this because he doesn't want Joshua to live in the past. He wants Joshua to stop looking back and start looking forward. He says, you, Joshua, are my new leader. And you will lead my people into the promised land. You know, back in the 1950s, the churches of Christ had a tremendous reputation for converting people. They were a people of the book. Those days are gone. This is 2021. And we need to stop looking back. And we need to stop saying, well, back in the 1950s, we need to stop doing that. We need to do what God is telling Joshua to do. Joshua, don't look back. Look forward. Look ahead. And listen, if we will simply listen to God, obey God, do what God says, we can make the 1950s look backslid. And that's the truth. If we will simply obey God. So God says, you look to me, Joshua. This is my work. This is my salvation. And I don't want you to worry about anything. I don't want you to worry about giants. I don't want you to worry about high walls. I don't want you to worry about mountains and wars. Because I have given you this land. And so God isn't depending upon Joshua on his own might and ability to go into the land of Canaan and take it. Rather, Joshua will be depending upon God's reliability, that God will be faithful to his word and God will do what God said he would do. Remember, this is God's story. And the thing that he says in verse 5, again in verse 9, says it several times. He says, I will be with you. This is a promise that he repeats. I will be with you. God is saying, church, when you feel alone, I will be there. When you feel lost, I will be present. When you feel confused, I will be there to show you the way. I will never, ever leave you. I will never, ever abandon you. I will never forsake you. What an awesome promise. And it's something that Joshua needed to know to do the mission that God had given him. That he wasn't alone. And so he says, you never forget, Joshua, that I am with you. And I want you to be strong. And I want you to be courageous. And so I want us to just see three things just real quick this morning. Just three simple things. First of all, he says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Did you notice when we read through the text that he said that multiple times? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Why does God say that? Because he's not strong and courageous. That's why God says it. There's no other reason for him to say it. He is not strong and courageous. This is a mighty task that has been put before him. He's got 2 million Jews that he's going to take into the promised land. This is a tremendous work that God has laid in Joshua's lap. Joshua was afraid and Joshua was scared. There were all kinds of unknowns in Joshua's life. But what God is telling Joshua is, I want you to look to me. And I want you to draw strength from me. I am with you and I will not leave you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. And Joshua needed to know this. And you need to know this as well. Maybe there's something going on in your life and you're not strong and you're not courageous. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you're scared. Maybe there are lots of unknowns. What about this and what about that? You simply don't know. Here's the key. Look to God. Realize that he is with you and draw strength from him. But number two, I want you to see that he says, pay attention to me. And he says this repeatedly. Look at verse 8. for example. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it." And so he's telling Joshua, "Joshua, your job is to pay attention to me. Your job is to follow me. Your job is to follow my words." Remember, the reason we're here a second time is because they didn't follow his words earlier. 40 years ago, they could have went into the promised land. But they refused to listen to God when God said, "Go and possess the land." They believed the lies of the 10 spies rather than Joshua and Caleb, as you remember the story. And so he wants Joshua to be sure that he obeys God, that he is obedient to God's words. When God speaks, we are supposed to listen. What God has to say is important. And what God has to say is true. No matter what anyone else says, no matter what the world may say, what God says is what matters. And God must be obeyed and God must be followed. And if he isn't, there are consequences for that. And he's reminding Joshua of that. And we need to be reminded of that as well. Because when we become disobedient, there will be consequences in our lives that we will have to face. And so he tells him, "You pay attention to my words, Joshua." But the third thing I want you to see is this. He says it's time to go. Joshua, this is not a time to sit around. You see, the church is a movement. It's not a monument. And we need to realize that this is a movement of God. And God is in front and God is leading. And we see this all through the book of Numbers, where God is leading by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God is leading and guiding his people. God is in front. And we are to follow his lead. In chapter 1, verse 16, let's jump down to there. He says, "So they answered Joshua, saying, 'All that you commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death.'" And notice, "only be strong and of good courage." You see, it's time to go. It's time to move. It's time to obey God. We have been given a commission, just as Joshua had been given a commission. His commission was take the children of Israel across the Jordan and possess the land that he had promised. The commission we've been given is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned." Those are the words that God has given us, and he has told us to go. And just as he promised Joshua that he would lead, that he would guide, that he would be before them, we need to realize we're not alone in this call and in this commission that we've been given. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 20, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." And so as we obey our commission, the God who promised he would be with Joshua promises he will be with us in our commission. But folks, it's time to go. And I encourage you to be strong and be courageous. Pay attention to the words of your God. Listen to what he's telling you to do and obey him so that the world can be blessed. The world that is dead in sin can be reconciled to God. And one day there can be a great multitude in heaven because we cared enough to share the gospel. And so this morning, we have a call before us. Are you obedient to that call? Who are you talking to? Who are you witnessing to? Who are you sharing the good news with? Brethren, I hope you will be obedient to God, that you will hear His words and not let them just go in one ear and out the other side. But let's rise up and just know that the church is, it's a movement. It's not a monument. And I pray for us to be obedient to the commission that we've been given to do. And this morning, if you're in need of prayer, we would love to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. We're going to sing a song, and the reason we do this is to give you a few moments to think about where you are in your relationship with God. And if you're not where you need to be, well, this is a time for you to think about that and make a decision in your life and get where you need to be. Do that as we stand together and sing.